Would you please stand? The processional hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
His name always, for it is seemly so to do. For why the Lord our God is good, His mercy is forever sure. His truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. To Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom heaven and earth adore, and from the angel host be praise and glory evermore.
Welcome everybody to the Church of the Ascension this afternoon for the rite of confirmation. We, of course, particularly welcome the candidates from both parishes in our group, their parents, grandparents, other relatives and friends, together with parishioners who have come to support them on this milestone occasion when they enter full membership of the Church. And of course we are particularly pleased to have the Bishop, the Right Reverend David MacLeay, with us, who of course will administer the rite of confirmation. Today is the feast of Christ the King. It is also known as Stir Up Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the Church's year before we begin the season of Advent next Sunday. So today, in this confirmation experience, let us together be stirred up in faith so that we may plenteously bring forth the fruit of our good works.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Friends, it is indeed always a joy to have the privilege of confirming those who seek to be confirmed today, four young people and one adult. And it's really encouraging that you're all here to surround them with your prayers and to cheer them on, as it were, on this day where they give their yes to following the Lord Jesus Christ and make their own the vows that some of you made on their behalf, parents and godparents, whenever they were baptized. Brothers and sisters, we meet today to support and to pray for those who have been baptized and instructed in the Christian faith, and who now intend, in the presence of God and of this congregation, to make the promises of their baptism their own. At the heart of this confirmation service are two distinct yet related acts of confirming. First, the candidates will profess their faith in Christ, confirming their desire to serve God throughout their lives, to turn to Christ, and to renounce all evil. Then, as bishop, I will lay my hands on them, praying that God's Holy Spirit will confirm, strengthen, and guide them as they strive each day of their lives to live up to the solemn commitment they will make today. It's our privilege and joy as the people of God to hear the candidates' response to God's call and to renew our own baptismal commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. It will be our responsibility to encourage the newly confirmed in their discipleship so that the Christian family may be built up, recognizing the diverse gifts of all its members. On this, their confirmation day, let us pray in silence for Luke, for Horace, for Holly, for Matilda, and for Rachel, so that increasing in the Holy Spirit more and more, they may experience God's wisdom and God's love forever. First, we begin by acknowledging that none of us can actually follow Christ in our own strength, nor can we live lives that in any way honor God without the daily help of His Holy Spirit and the continual cleansing that He made real for us when He died on the cross to pay for our salvation. And so let us affirm our trust in God's mercy, and as we sit or kneel, confess together that we need God's forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord God, you created the world and made us in your own image. Forgive us when we turn away from you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, through your Son, you overcame evil and death. Rescue us from slavery to sin. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, you restore us to fellowship with you and with one another. Breathe your love and your freedom into our lives. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you your sins, and keep you in eternal life. Amen. I invite all of us now to take a few moments to pray earnestly for those who are to be confirmed. To pray for Rachel, for Matilda, for Holly, for Harris, and for Luke. Heavenly Father, by water and the Holy Spirit, you give your faithful people new life. Guide and strengthen us by that same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love, and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Eternal Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King. Keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to our readings and to our focus on God's Word.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing Psalm 23.
Shall feed me in a green pasture. the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou shalt prepare a table before me against them that trouble me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full. But thy loving kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and shall be forever.
The epistle is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You were dead through the trespasses and sins which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, the result of works, so that no one may boast. We are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, Defend Me, Lord, From Hour to Hour. Gospel of our Savior Christ, according to St. John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that the words that I speak and the thoughts of all of our hearts would right now and always be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. We pray, Lord, that your word would bring life in the power of your Holy Spirit to each and to all of us this day, and particularly, Lord, to those who are making their confirmation vows. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me say again that it's a real joy and delight to be with you this afternoon. I love confirmation services. And sometimes people say, well, why do you like confirmation services so much? Well, the answer is very straightforward. There's something very, very special when young people and older people stand and say that they want to follow Christ with his help for the remainder of their years. And that's what those who are being confirmed today are doing. They're confirming that from today onwards, they want to follow Christ, that they want Christ to live in them, and they want his ways to be their ways, and they want to live their lives in a way that will glorify him. We choose every year a particular theme for that for a particular confirmation season. And this year we've chosen the theme of Jesus, our Shepherd and our King. That's the theme of today's service, and it's been the theme of our confirmation season. And I want to share some thoughts from that probably best known of Psalms, Psalm 23. The Psalm was written by King David. He was an old man when he penned these words. And David is looking back towards the end of his life. He's looking back on his years. He's looking back particularly to his earlier years when, in fact, he was a shepherd. Indeed, a shepherd as a teenager. He had minded and looked after sheep. As David looks back over his life had been good at times. but life had also been very tough in other seasons of his life. He could look back and say, I suppose, that he'd won some and he'd lost some. He had been through some high moments and he'd been through some low moments. David had done some things very, very well. As he looked back at his life, he'd had many successes, but he'd also made more than a few mistakes. His life had been one of success and one of failure. And that's how it is for all of us in life. Actually, as the years move on, we were all able to look back with hindsight on high moments and low moments, on good days and tough days, and on days where we got things mostly right, and on other days where we probably got some things mostly wrong. But in all of this, as David looks back, the key is these first opening words of Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So as he's looking back over life with all its highs and lows, he's able to say towards the end of his life, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we'll go on to explore just a little bit about what he means whenever he says that. Our New Testament reading describes God as the good shepherd, describes Jesus as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Hear this today. Jesus Christ loves and is for every single one of us in church today, including the five who are being confirmed this afternoon. And he's got a good purpose and a good plan for every single one of our lives. That doesn't mean that our lives are going to sort of be such that we sail through life without difficulties. He doesn't promise that. But he does promise to be with us in living, to be with us in life, and to have a good plan and a good purpose for our lives. This psalm expresses what it means to be a disciple of God, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone has described this psalm as a he-me psalm. It's about a relationship with God. The Christian life is about a relationship with God. The psalmist continues, he makes me. He leads me. He restores me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This psalm is all about a friendship with God. It's about a relationship with God. It's about this he, me, he relationship with God, where he knows me and I know him, where you know him and he knows you, where he walks with you and you follow him, where he loves you, and because he first loved you, you love him in return, where you know his presence in a very wonderful and in a very real way. I was thinking about this just yesterday. I was driving back from a central church gathering that happened in Cavan. I was driving back through the rain and through the floods, and just thinking about the service I was going to be at this morning and this service this afternoon, and just thinking about how wonderful it is that the God of all creation actually wants to share his presence with you and with me in a way that those being confirmed this afternoon can know his presence with them and be able to say, as the years move forward, he makes me, he leads me, he restores me, he guides me, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Able to say that we've got this relationship with God that's He, me, and me in Him. Because for the Christian, Jesus is everything that we need. He's actually all we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want, there's nothing else that I need when I've got Him as my shepherd, as my good shepherd. He's sufficient. He's enough. And He's enough because He loves you and He's for you. On the cross, He died for you. He was raised to life again on the third day so that you could know His life in your life, His presence with you day and daily, leading, guiding, providing, restoring, blessing. His presence is real. God is real. Just the other day, I was at a meeting with a number of people, and there was somebody in the room who needed to know God's guidance. They needed to know God's direction in their life. And they had rang a friend that prays with them and prays for them. And their friend rang back and said, well, I sense that maybe that the passage of Scripture that's going to be the passage that's going to change the direction of your life for the next season is, and this person gave them the passage of Scripture. It was actually James chapter 4, verses 7 to the end. And as we sat in the room and as we began to open the meeting, none of us knowing anything about the conversation that this person had had with the one who prays for them, including myself, knowing nothing of it, I began the meeting by reading those exact same verses. God is real. God knows us. He loves us. And He has a plan for your life and for my life. Now, on my way here today, I actually was looking around the fields, and there's actually quite a lot of sheep around the local fields. I ended up being a little bit early and parking the car and sitting looking out over a field. I was probably parked somewhere I shouldn't have been parked, but that's another story. And I was looking out over the field, and there were all sizes and shapes of sheep. I noticed that they were very well penned in. There was sheep wire. Now, those of you who know what sheep wire is, it's very small boxed wire. You could, a rabbit could barely get through it. Certainly a big rabbit would have difficulty getting through it. And there was barbed wire as well. So these sheep were well fenced in where I was looking at them, and there were all different sizes of sheep. But here's the thing that every single one of them had in common, and that every other sheep has in common, and I don't want to insult any sheep farmers that might be among you, but they're the stupidest, smelliest, dirtiest of animals. They will always go in the wrong direction. You can never get them to lie down, actually, unless they're really well fed. If they're hungry, they'll just walk around in circles until they drop, quite literally. They are not a very intelligent animal, and they're very obstinate. Try to get sheep to go this way, and they'll go that way. They'll get themselves into trouble as well. They'll roll over on their back, and they'll be unable to get back onto their feet again. And they'll end up actually rolling into a stream, and some of them even have been known to drown by falling into a drain or into a waterway. Or they'll get caught in wire, or get caught in briars, or get caught in thorns. They are stupid. They really are stupid. And they're very, very difficult to steer. And here's the thing. Throughout the Scriptures, you and I are described as sheep. It's not the most complimentary description of who we are, but it describes what we're like in life, unless we've got a shepherd, unless we've got the good shepherd to look after us, to care for us, to make sure that we will be well fed and that we will lie down in a good place. And so all of us need Jesus as our good shepherd. And He is that good shepherd. Because when we follow Him, friends, He will keep you. He will keep the commitment, whatever depth of commitment you make to him today, he will keep that. He will sustain that commitment. He will give you his rest. And if you wander off and make a few unwise choices, if you are purely repentant and truly sorry, he'll restore you. He'll welcome you back into his family. He'll sustain you and strengthen you. He will look after you. The invitation to keep coming to him when we're weary or heavy laden is an invitation that is always open. The psalmist goes on, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David himself, as he's penning these words, knew that he had sinned. He'd sinned pretty awfully. He'd made some pretty big blunders in his life. And he needed to repent. And he needed to be restored. And friends, there will be times in your life too where you'll simply need to repent. Sometimes folks will say to me, well, I started off in this Christian journey and then, well, I sort of blew it when I did X or Y or Z. And the mistake that they make is that they think that's it. It's never it. It's never over. Always you're able to come back. Always you're able to start again. Always you're able to repent, to get down on your knees and say to the Lord that you're sorry, truly sorry, and to begin again. The old words in the Book of Common Prayer, in the morning prayer service, express it so wonderfully, where it says, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts, and there is no health in us. But he's full of mercy. He's full of kindness. He's full of welcome. Full of welcome. And he's always there to welcome us back into a close he-me relationship with him. But it's better to choose to stay close and not to wander off. It's better to get to know and recognize his voice by reading your Bible every day. We really do need to rediscover and recapture in the Church of Ireland this pattern of reading our Bible every day. We have something called the Daily Office. I wonder how many in this parish actually, you can access it on your phone really easily every day. And you can read your Bible in that way every day. It's so easy for us nowadays. We don't even have to go and find a Bible. We can just access it on our phone, on an app on our phone. Whatever lies ahead, be someone who feeds yourself. A well-fed sheep will lie down. A hungry one never will. Keep on following Jesus. I always say at a service of confirmation where there's young people, you know, some of you will probably go off to other parts and other places to live. Who knows where in the world some of you are going to end up. When you arrive, you'll check out different things, but make the first phone call that you make when you get there, or do it online before you get there, where there's a really good church, where you'll feel at home, where you'll be nurtured, where you'll make friends, where you can belong. Make that your priority. When you head off one day, maybe to university or to employment, wherever it happens to be, make that the first choice that you make. And bring your Bible packed with you and read it the first day you arrive in a new setting. And begin from today onwards to read it every day as well. I spent a little bit of time just a couple of years ago now with an elderly gentleman in his 90s who had followed Christ from he was your age. And I said to him, he was called David as well. I said, David, what is it has sustained you all of these years? And without without thinking about it, he said, I think there hasn't been a day from the day I gave my life to Christ that I haven't read his word, that I haven't read the Bible. Think of another elderly gentleman, a bit like King David, an old man too, and he was one of 13 children, so there wasn't much room in the house. And he lived near the shore, near the beach, and there was a cave down near his home. So every day he would take his Bible and he'd go down to the shore and he'd go to this cave and he'd sit and he'd read the Bible. He said to me, and he'd served as a clergy person and as an archdeacon all over different parts of the world. And he said this, he received his best theological education in that cave. Read your Bible every day. And can I say to you as a congregation, you really ought to be setting that as the example to a younger generation. Be a church, be a people where you read the Bible every day and where you fall in love more and more and more with the person of Jesus. The psalmist continues to tell us that God will be our shepherd even in the dark valley, even in the valley of death. But the lovely thing about this verse is that it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's not going to leave you in the valley. He's going to lead you out the other side, comforting, strengthening, restoring, healing, equipping, giving you everything that you need day by day. And then one day, taking you right into his nearer presence. So, as those who are being confirmed this afternoon give their yes to Jesus, as you say publicly in front of family and friends, and make your own the vows that they made for you when you were baptized, as you say, I turn to Christ, when you say that you will follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, my prayer for you is that he will write that commitment very, very deep into the very core of who you are, and that today will be a day that you look back on where you do give your yes to Jesus, and your no to anything that might come between you and following Christ. Remembering this, that he will fight for you, that he will sustain you, that he will keep you. The psalmist here speaks of Jesus the shepherd being the one who will keep us through all of life. A shepherd back in those days had a rod and he had a staff. With his rod, he would fight off the bears and the wild animals. He would literally fight them off. He would defend the sheep and keep them safe. Know this, there is an enemy. His name is the devil. He will come to steal and kill and destroy. But trust in Christ. Trust in Jesus. And he will fight off the devil for you. Resist him and he will run away from you. Say no to the temptations that he maybe dresses up and makes very attractive and lays before you. But learn to say no to them. And learn to put Jesus Christ and his way and his values and his word and his presence at the very center of how you choose to live. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. It's a picture of a table that's well laden with lovely things. He will feed you from his word. He will strengthen you every day with his Holy Spirit's presence. His presence is real. As I drove back yesterday, I thought actually of Moses and the story of Moses, where Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not moving from here. Ask God to be present with you, as well as living in you as your Savior. Ask Him to be present with you as your Lord. He will be your shepherd as you open up your heart and your life to Him and ask Him to come and to live in you as your Savior. As you say to Him that you're sorry for any of the ways that you've ever tried to live without Him, as you believe from the very core of who you are that He loves you and died on the cross for you, that He's a living God who rose from the grave on the third day, as you give your life to Jesus Christ, He will remain constantly your good shepherd. Trust Him, love Him, follow Him, know Him, be strengthened by Him, and know always, always, always His presence with you. Amen. Lord, I do pray for all of us in this church this afternoon, Lord, that we would be those who make very sure that we know Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that we're able to say like David, regardless, Lord, of what age we are or what life has dealt us, that the Lord is my shepherd. Lord God, lead us into that He, me, He relationship with You, where we're able to say out of our own experience, He leads me, He guides me, He restores me, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even when I walk through dark valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. His rod protects me. His staff pulls me in close towards Him and near to Him. His presence is real. He prepares a table before me. His goodness and His mercy will follow me all of my years. And one day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord God, write that truth upon our minds, we pray. But Lord, make it a living, everyday reality and experience in our lives. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Can I ask the five that are being confirmed to please stand, just where you are for a moment. During COVID, we started to do something that's a little bit different. We started to include everybody in the congregation, being among those who, along with parents and godparents, presented those that were being confirmed for confirmation. In other words, everybody in the congregation got to answer the first question, who presents these persons for confirmation. We do. And the more I thought about that, I think there's something really helpful in that. Because these two churches that these people who are being confirmed belong to, you, after today, have an ongoing responsibility to see that they continue to be nurtured in the things of Christ. That the church is a place that's relevant for their generation. That the church is a place that can nurture them in the ways of God's kingdom. That the church is a place that can help them deal with the big issues that their generation are facing out there. And you know, religion in itself won't answer any of that. But as they're nurtured in the ways of Christ, then they will be able to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. So there's an incredible responsibility, not just that continues to rest with parents and godparents. Mom and Dad will continue to pay the bills for a long, long time, even after they go off to Australia or wherever it happens to be, probably. But as a church, pray for these young people. Love them. Prioritize them. Prioritize what they need in today's world. Make them your number one priority. Ensure that the faith is passed on to the next generations. So will all of you please stand? And I'm going to ask all of us, therefore, who presents these persons for confirmation?
We do.
And to those being confirmed, have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? Have these persons been carefully prepared in their understanding of the Christian faith?
I believe they have.
The five who are being confirmed will remain standing. In fact, if they would just come out and stand here at the front together, please. And I'll ask everybody else to take a seat. I'm going to guide you through the vows that parents and godparents made for you when you were baptized, and that now you're going to make your own. Sometimes I find myself confirming those who also made these confirmation vows in baptism as an adult. So if that's any of you, it's really good to make these vows a second time as well. In baptism, God calls us from darkness to his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin, and it means rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you reject the devil and all proud rebellion against God? Do you renounce the deceit and the corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor?
I repent of them.
Do you turn to Christ as Savior?
I turn to Christ.
Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life?
I come to Christ.
Friends, you've heard these are brothers and sisters. Respond to Christ. So now to you as a congregation, I'm asking, will you support them in this calling?
We will support them.
Luke, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized?
I do.
Harris, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized? Holly, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized?
I do.
Matilda, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized?
I do.
Rachel, do you believe and accept the Christian faith into which you are baptized?
I do.
Can I ask all of us to please stand together? You may have heard me say this before, but I think it bears repeating. It actually bears repeating because just today I received actually an email and a little snippet from a group of Christians who are publicly worshipping Christ today in the open air, but in a part of the world where at any moment they could be thrown into prison for following Christ. I'm aware of those who have had to leave their own country and travel to another country to be confirmed. Anglicans in one country, leaving that country to be confirmed in a nearby country because it was illegal for them to make the vows that these folks are making today. We're about to affirm our faith in the words, the ancient words of the Creed, which for some are very costly to speak aloud. So let's maybe as we speak these words today, ask that God would make them words that are more than words, but that come from a deep, deep conviction that we want to know God, that we want to know the Trinity, that we want to know the Father, that we want to know the Son, and that we want to know the Spirit more and more. So brothers and sisters, I ask you to profess together with these candidates the faith of the Church. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
Ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'm going to ask the candidates to go back to their seats for a moment, and we're going to sing and pray the words of this hymn, Come, Gracious Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God would visit the lives of those being confirmed, that they would know his touch today, and that indeed the Spirit of God would fall afresh on all of us as we sing these words together.
Light and comfort.
us to God, our final rest, to be with Him forever blessed.
I mentioned earlier that none of us can keep faith ourselves, but He will keep us. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
We'll do that again. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Blessed be the name of the Lord,
now and forever. Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, whose Son Jesus Christ was crucified and rose again to break the power of sin and death, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Holy Spirit, by whom your servants have been born again and made your children. Grant that in the power of the same Holy Spirit, they may continue to grow in the knowledge and likeness of Christ. Increase in them your gracious gifts, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and inward strength, the spirit of knowledge and godly living, and fill them, O Lord, with the spirit of reverence for you. Amen.
I present Luke.
Confirm Luke, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen. Luke, the Lord, who created you in his image, will sustain and strengthen you by his love, and protect you with his protection. Lord God, would you fill this man with your peace? May the peace of God, Luke, which passes all human understanding, always protect and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen. The Lord sees your earnest and your earnestness to live right and to live well. Simply ask him to be the one that sustains you, lives in you, and keeps you all your years. Amen. Amen.
I present Harris.
Confirm Harris, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that he may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until he comes to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen. Harris, may the joy of the Lord Jesus be your daily strength. And may the Word of God become something that increasingly you fall in love with reading. And may the Word that was made flesh come and dwell increasingly in you as you know that joy. My sense, Harris, is that you love people, you love company, and the Lord will strengthen you to be someone that actually makes right choices in life when surrounded by other people who maybe don't always make the right choice as the years move forward and as the years move on. but seek his strength to make good choices all your years. Amen. Amen.
I present Holly.
Confirm Holly, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen. May the name of Jesus, be always the name that you love above all other names. And may God protect you and watch over you and bless you. Bless you to make you a blessing. Amen.
I present Matilda.
Confirm Matilda, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen. Matilda, may your confidence always be in Christ, knowing that you are his and he is yours. My sense is that you're someone that can be the life and soul of a party and of a group of people. And may the Lord just use those gifts to enable you to actually spread his beauty, spread his peace, spread his love, spread his presence wherever he takes you. Amen. Amen.
I present Rachel.
Confirm Rachel, O Lord, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more until she comes to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen. Rachel, the Lord delights and takes great pleasure in your love and commitment and joy in taking this step of owning and trusting and following him. And his word to you is to know his joy, know his peace, and his love drives away all fear, and his love is the one that is the perfect healer. May you know his healing and know his joy all your years. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for your servants upon whom we have now laid our hands after the example of the apostles, to assure them by this sign of your favor towards them. May your fatherly hand ever be over them. Let your Holy Spirit ever be with them. Lead them to know and to obey your word, and keep them in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This next section of the service is entitled The Commission. It simply reminds us of those practical things that will help us to grow as his disciples. Those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. So I'm asking all of us as a congregation, will we continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers? With the help of God, I will. Will we persevere in resisting evil? And whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. With the help of the Lord, I will. Will we proclaim by word and by example the good news of God in Christ?
With the help of God, I will.
Will we seek and serve Christ in all people, loving our neighbor as ourself?
With the help of God, I will.
The choir are going to sing over us the anthem, O Jesus, I Have Promised, and I'll ask the congregation to be seated. Thank you, and let's stand together. God has made us one in Christ. He has set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us extend to one another a sign of peace.
The collection at this service will be in favour of the Bishop's Ministry Fund to support the faith development of young people in our churches. The collection hymn is Lift the Banner, Church of Erin.
Let us pray. Please sit or kneel for prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Unexpected God, whose Spirit was seen as a flame and was felt as a mighty wind, Some parts of your church are tightly closed to exclude drafts and strongly built to withstand fire. It's easy for your church to cope with your spirit in the form of a gentle dove, but cleansing winds and refining fires are frightening. Help us to throw open our locked doors so that your spirit may fan our reluctant embers into your flames. Lord, in your mercy. Vibrant God, the power of your spirit is strange. It's a power most strongly realized in vulnerability, weakness, and crucifixion. Yet your world continues to use the power of force, of maiming, of torture, and killing. In those parts of the world such as Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, Ukraine, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, and Myanmar, where people still aim to make each other suffer, may your Holy Spirit be felt so strongly that people begin to hear each other speak in their own native language so that enemies begin to become friends. Lord, in your mercy. God of love and friendship, on that first Pentecost, your Spirit enabled people to hear each other and hearing to understand. Give us the spirit of truth and love that we may face ourselves with honesty, allowing you to blow away our prejudices and our misconceptions so that we too may hear and understand, and understanding we may love. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, who sent your spirit as a comforter and source of strength of those in need, we invoke your spirit on all those of our friends who are suffering. Some are sick, and like the disciples, some are frightened and anxious, afraid to venture beyond locked doors. Give them the strength and your comfort that they may know your peace. We pray for all who continue to be affected by coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy. God of the living, whose spirit lives within your children, doves and flames and wind are all signs of life and not death. Help us to understand that as the body decays, so the spirit is free to return to you to live on eternally. We remember in your presence all those who have died, especially all whose lives are closely linked with ours. And in a moment's quiet, we pray for those in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Faithful people, that plenteously bearing the fruit of good works, they may by you be plenteously rewarded.
through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Before I pronounce the blessing, perhaps we could just give the five people who have been confirmed a big round of applause this evening. I was struck as we sung the hymn, Lift the Banner, Church of Erin, as we did in former days, of something that we will be doing across the diocese next year. And the way it will work in this particular church, which is marked as the Church of the Ascension, is that probably on Ascension Thursday, I guess, or on a date very close to it, there will be a special service of prayer, where you will be asked, and every other parish asked on a day relevant to them, to pray for every home in your parish. That will be followed by every home in every parish getting an invitation to a fun day or a fun event, which will be followed by every home, same invitation probably, every home in every parish. Now, when I say every home, I mean every home, not just the ones that are on one or two lists, but every home out there. So you're going to be busy as a congregation knocking doors and delivering those invitations. An invitation to a fun day, and then an invitation to a guest Sunday. When our churches were built, they were built to connect with every home in our parishes. And we just want to recapture something of that next year throughout the year. So I'm just giving you a little bit of advance warning that that is coming next year. So may the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be with you, with all those whom you love, and all those for whom you pray, this night and always.
I will express various votes of thanks over in the hall, but just to mention at this stage, to endorse the bishop's welcome to our five candidates as full members of the church. And as full members of the church, you are invited to participate for the first time in the sacrament of Holy Communion at next Sunday's services, 10 o'clock here in Annahilt and 12 noon in Mara Hamlet, Advent Sunday, the beginning of a new church year. Immediately following the service, there will be the opportunity of taking a group photograph, and then we will proceed across for tea, to which everyone is invited. And just one domestic notice particularly for the Annahilt parishioners, although everyone is welcome, to our Christmas fair this coming Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Parochial Hall. There is a list on the table near the church entrance of those who would wish to order holly wreaths. Would you please, this will be the last opportunity really that orders can be taken. So if you would like a holly wreath, please put your name on the sheet concerned. And on Thursday evening from 7 p.m., the hall will be open to receive various items and donations for sale at the fair the following night. The recessional hymn, Fire of God, Titanic Spirit.
Impedes us,
Lord, we give you thanks so much for fellowship together. And Lord, we thank you for daily bread, for food that's been prepared for us, and for the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen.